Meeting will come to order. Members, Chair thanks Sergeant at Arms, great work they do. One bill on today's calendar, Senate Bill 758, which is the state Senate plan. The chair believes the proposed map is being passed around now, and the relevant stat pack is online. Senator Daniel is here to present the state Senate plan. Senator Daniel, the gentleman is recognized to speak to Senate Bill 758.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. Senate Bill 758 is the product of work of the Senate redistricting chairs and has been modified by amendments sponsored by Democrats in committee. The new Senate map that results from this process has had bipartisan input in its formation. The redistricting chairs tailored the map to fit our criteria related to equal population, county groupings and traversals, traditional redistricting principles of compactness, contiguity, respect for existing political subdivisions, political considerations, and incumbent residency. So this map was extensively discussed and debated in two of our committee meetings, and the details of the map were explained on a district-by-district basis. I hate to bore you with this, but I will go through the 50 districts. Sorry about that. Starting from the east, Senate District 1 is created by the county grouping choice in northeastern North Carolina. The chairs chose the configuration that makes Senate District 1 out of the following whole counties: Northampton, Bertie, Hertford, Gates, Perquimans, Pasquotank, Camden, Currituck, Terrell, and Dare. This configuration leaves four of the five finger counties in northeastern North Carolina in one district. Many of the residents of these counties work or travel frequently to the Virginia Tidewater area, and seven of the 10 counties and 81% of the population in Senate District 1 are in the Norfolk media market. Dare, Currituck, Camden, Pasquotank, Perquimans, Hertford, and Gates, with the other three divided between Greenville, Terrell, and Bertie, and Raleigh, Northampton, containing 19% of the district's population. All of the counties in North Carolina that are in the Norfolk media market are in Senate District 1 except for Chewan, and the incumbent in this district is Senator Hannig from Currituck County. Senate District 2 follows the Roanoke River from Warren County to the Albemarle Sound in Washington County. Chewan County, directly across the sound from Washington County, is also grouped into this district. Hyde County, also on the Albemarle Sound, is in this district, as is Pamlico, along the Pamlico River and Pamlico Sound. Finally, Carteret, spanning the inner and outer banks, is the southernmost county in the district. Five of the eight counties in the district are in the Greenville media market, with the other three being split between Raleigh media market, those are Warren and Halifax, and the Norfolk media market, Chewan. Two-thirds of the population of this district live in the Greenville media market, and the incumbent is Senator Sanderson from Pamlico. Senate District 3 is unchanged from the previous map, but it's renumbered. It is created by the base county grouping of Lenoir, Craven, and Beaufort counties, and the incumbent is Senator Perry. Senate District 4 is unchanged from the previous map and is created by the base county grouping map, Wayne, Wilson, and Green, and the incumbent is Senator Buck Newton from Wilson. Senate District 5 is unchanged from the previous map and created by the base county grouping map, Edgecombe and Pitt, and the incumbent there is Senator Smith from Pitt County. Senate District 6 is unchanged from the previous map and created by the base county grouping map, Onslow County. The incumbent is Senator Lazara from Onslow. Senate District 7 and 8 together comprise Columbus, Brunswick, and New Hanover counties. Senate District 7 is created by the county grouping choice in the southeastern North Carolina, in the southeastern section. New Hanover is larger than the maximum population, so therefore the chairs chose to move six precincts out of Senate District 7 and into Senate District 8. Thus, New Hanover County minus these precincts, W3, W12, W15, W25, 27, and 29. The incumbent there is Senator Lee of New Hanover. Senate District 8 includes Columbus and Brunswick, plus the precincts I just mentioned that came from New Hanover County, and the incumbent is in that District 8 is Senator Rabin from Brunswick. Senate District 9 and 12 remain unchanged from the previous map. Bladen, Duplin, Pender, and Jones County are whole in Senate District 9. Sampson County is split between the two districts. One precinct Plainview was moved from Senate District 9 to 12, leaving the rest of Sampson County in Senate District 9. The incumbent in Senate District 9 is Senator Jackson from Sampson. Senate District 12 is made up of Lee and Harnett, plus the Plainview precinct from Sampson, as described. The incumbent in that district, Senate District 12, is Senator Bergen from Harnett. Going back to Senate District 11 is unchanged from the previous map and is created by the base grouping map, Vance, Franklin, and Nash, and that incumbent is Senator Barnes from Nash. Senate District 10 is unchanged from the previous map and is created by the base county grouping map, Johnson County, and the incumbent is Senator Sari. Wake and Granville counties form a 6-district, 2-county grouping in the base Senate map. The overall population within the county grouping is 1,190,402, meaning the ideal population for each of the 6 districts within the pod is 198,400. Only 52 people above the -5 deviation limit for the Senate districts in the state. All 6 districts were very close to the -5 deviation limit, and some BTDs had to be split in order to comply with the one person, one vote provision. In this map, the chairs split 6 of Wake County's 212 precincts. Senate District 13 is in southern Wake and also includes the unincorporated areas Fuquay, Verena, and parts of Holly Springs. There is no incumbent in Senate District 13. Senate District 14 includes Garner, Knightdale, Wendell, Zebulon, Southeast Raleigh, and much of downtown Raleigh. The incumbent in Senate District 14 is Senator Blue. Senate District 15 is located in the central part and north parts of Raleigh. There are 2 incumbents residing in that district, Senator Chaudhry and Senator Grafstein. Senate District 16 is West Raleigh and Central Cary. The incumbent in Senate District 16 is Senator Adcock. Senate District 17 includes Western Cary, Morrisville, and Apex, and the incumbent in that district is Senator Batch. Senate District 18 includes Granville County, unincorporated areas in northern Wake County, the northern Wake towns of Wake Forest and Rollsville, and parts of Zebulon. The incumbent in Senate District 18 is Senator Bodie of Granville. Moore and Cumberland counties form a 2-county, 2-district grouping in the base Senate map. Senate District 19 was drawn keeping as much of Fayetteville whole as possible. The city of Fayetteville has an irregular shape and many satellite annexations and shares precincts with other municipalities such as Hope Mills. The end result is a district that includes over 88% of the population of Fayetteville and nearly 15% of the population of Hope Mills. And the incumbent in that district, Senate District 19, is Senator Applewhite from Cumberland. Senate District 21 was drawn keeping Moore County whole and the more rural areas of Cumberland County to the extent possible. As said before, the irregular shapes of municipalities and precincts containing more than one municipality made it difficult to keep all municipalities whole. So Senate District 21 includes 85% of the population of Hope Mills and 12% of the population of Fayetteville. And the incumbent in Senate District 21 is Senator McGinnis of Moore County. Chatham and Durham counties form a 2-county, 2-district grouping in the base Senate map and is unchanged from the previous map. The incumbent in Senate District 20 is Senator Murdoch, and the incumbent in Senate District 22 is Senator Woodard. Their districts were modified from the original filed Senate map in an amendment that was agreed upon between those members in the Senate Elections Committee. Senate District 23 is unchanged from the previous map and is created by the base county grouping map, Caswell, Person, and Orange counties. The incumbent in Senate District 23 is Senator Meyer from Orange. Senate District 24 is unchanged from the previous map and is created by the base county group of Scotland, Hoke, and Robinson, and the incumbent there is Senator Britt, who maybe some of you have met. Alamance, Randolph, Montgomery, Richmond, Anson, Union, and Cabarrus comprise a 7-county, 4-district grouping with these Senate seats, Senate District 25, 29, 34, and 35. This county grouping is in the base Senate map because of how the counties are aligned and the populations therein. The counties that must be split between districts are Cabarrus, Union, and Randolph, Alamance, Montgomery, Richmond, and Anson counties. Actually, those last 5 counties are left whole within the districts. Senate District 25 comprises Alamance. I may have misspoke. So Senate District 25 comprises Alamance and 7 precincts across Randolph County, including the towns of Archdale, Level Cross, Sophia, Randleman, Liberty, and Staley. Senator Gailey from Alamance is the incumbent in that district, 25. 29 and comprises the rest of Randolph County, all of Montgomery, Richmond, and Anson, and the city of Monroe and south and the southeastern sections of Union County. The incumbent in Senate District 29 is Senator Craven from Randolph. Senate District 35 comprises the rest of Union County and the southern corner of Cabarrus County. There are two split precincts in southern Cabarrus County. The incumbent in Senate District 35 is Senator Johnson from Union. Senate District 34 comprises most of Cabarrus County, all but one full precinct and small portions of two other precincts in the south. The incumbent in Senate District 34 is Senator Newton from Cabarrus. Guilford and Rockingham counties form a two-county, three-district grouping in the base Senate map. Rockingham County is left whole within Senate District 26. Senate District 26 includes many of the unincorporated and bedroom community areas of Guilford County, along with Rockingham County. The incumbent in Senate District 26 is Senator Berger from Rockingham. Senate District 27 includes all of the High Point precincts, Western Greensboro, and the town of Summerfield. Two precincts were split in order to keep Summerfield whole. The incumbent in Senate District 27 is Senator Garrett. Senate District 28 is based in Greensboro and includes the central and eastern parts of the city. The incumbent in Senate District 28 is Senator Robinson, and this was another two-county, two districts that were modified in committee at the request of Senator Garrett and Senator Robinson. Senate District 30 is unchanged from the previous map and is created by the base grouping of Davie and Davidson counties. Senator Jarvis from Davidson is the incumbent in Senate District 30. Senate District 33 is unchanged from the previous map and is created by the base grouping of Rowan and Stanley. Senator Ford from Rowan is the incumbent in Senate District 33. Senate Districts 31 and 2 are in the two-county pod that includes Stokes and Forsyth County. Senate District 31 is drawn to keep Stokes County whole and the small towns and rural areas outside of Winston-Salem in Forsyth County together. The incumbent in Senate District 31 is Senator Kravick of Forsyth. Senate District 32 includes most of the city of Winston-Salem. The incumbent in Senate District 32 is Senator Lowe of Forsyth. Senate District 36 is unchanged from the previous map and is created by the same county grouping choice in northwestern North Carolina, Alexander, Wilkes, Surrey, and Yadkin counties, and the incumbent there in Senate District 36 is Senator Settle from Wilkes. Six Senate districts are contained in the two-county grouping of Mecklenburg and Iredell counties. Those are 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, and 42. This county grouping is created by the base map. Senate District 37 keeps Iredell County whole and contains the northernmost precincts in Mecklenburg County and splits one precinct. There are two incumbents in Senate District 37. That is Senator Sawyer and Senator Marcus. Senate District 38 is located in northern Mecklenburg County and includes the bedroom communities of north of Charlotte but south of Senate District 37 and precincts in northeast Charlotte. The incumbent in Senate District 38 is Senator Muhammad. Senate District 39 is located in southwestern Mecklenburg and includes unincorporated areas along Gaston County's line and the South Carolina border, West Charlotte, Steel Creek, Pineville, and South Boulevard and Park Road corridors from South Charlotte to Uptown. Senator Salvador is the incumbent in Senate District 39. Senate District 40 includes East Charlotte, the University area, and precincts along the Cabarrus County line. Senator Waddell is the incumbent in Senate District 40. Senate District 41 includes Northwest Charlotte, Uptown, and neighborhoods such as Noda, Plaza Midwood, Greer Heights, and Cotswold. There is no incumbent in Senate District 41. Senate District 42 includes Matthews and Mint Hill, Ballantyne and South Charlotte neighborhoods such as Myers Park, Barkley Downs, Quail Hollow, Old Providence, and Providence Plantation. The incumbent in the district is Senator Hunt from Mecklenburg. Senate District 43 is unchanged from the current map and is drawn wholly in Gaston. Five precincts are pulled out of this Gaston-based district, the three Cherryville precincts, to stay within the correct population range. The incumbent in Senate District 43 is Senator Overcash from Gaston. Senate District 44 is also unchanged and is comprised of the five precincts from Gaston, plus the counties of Lincoln and Cleveland. The incumbent in this district is Senator Alexander from Cleveland. Senate District 48 is unchanged from the current map and is comprised of the three-county grouping containing Henderson, Polk, and Rutherford. The incumbent in Senate District 48 is Senator Moffitt from Henderson. Senate District 46 includes Olive Burke and McDowell counties, plus most of the unincorporated precincts and small towns in Buncombe County. I'm the incumbent in Senate District 46. Senate District 49 includes the rest of Buncombe County, including all of Asheville and Weaverville. The incumbent in Senate District 49 is Senator Mayfield. If I'm getting that number right. Yeah, Senate Mitchell. The base map includes a Western North Carolina grouping comprising three districts, which are 45, 47, and 50, and 17 counties. Allegheny, Ash, Watauga, Caldwell, Catawba, Avery, Mitchell, Yancey, Madison, Haywood, Transylvania, Jackson, Swain, Graham, Macon, Clay, and Cherokee. Because of how the counties are aligned and the populations therein, the counties that must be split between districts are Caldwell and Haywood. Senate District 45 includes all of Catawba and the southern parts of Caldwell County. Senator Proctor from Catawba is the incumbent in Senate District 45. Senate District 47 includes the rest of Caldwell County and all of Allegheny, Ash, Watauga, Avery, Mitchell, Yancey, and Madison, and the northeastern part of Haywood. The incumbent in Senate District 47 is Senator Heiss from Mitchell. And Senate District 50 includes the rest of Haywood County, all of Transylvania, Jackson, Swain, Graham, Macon, Clay, Cherokee counties, and Senator Corbin from Macon is the incumbent there. I do want to explain how this map follows the criteria adopted by the chairs during the process. The 50 districts in the map are drawn to plus or minus 5% of the ideal population as required by the Constitution. This map groups counties according to the formula contained in Stevenson. In places where there are multiple county groupings, chairs exercise their discretion in choosing the grouping as we are allowed to do by the Constitution. These districts conform to the state constitutional standards for compactness. There is no point contiguity used in the map. Racial data was not used in the drafting of the map. And all of our map process, drawing processes were done in this building by the chairs of the committee and other members and by our Senate pro tem staff and central staff. Racial data was not used in the drafting of the map. This map splits only 12 VTDs out of 2,666 across the state. It splits the population of 34 municipalities out of 614 across the state. Member residence was considered. Just as with the congressional maps, we instructed central staff at the conclusion of our first redistricting meeting last week to produce and post to the General Assembly website with the stat pack the racial data for the Senate plan. At the same time, we invited members of the committee and those interested members in the public who advocated altering plans for racial reasons to provide a strong basis in evidence that the jingles conditions were present in any particular area of the state. And we took that seriously. And so before our next committee meeting, the chairs looked at the results in the stat pack and the purported evidence presented by outside groups. And after studying that, giving it consideration, we concluded that none of the evidence or stat pack information provided was what was needed to make us change course. Evidence of any location in the state where both legally significant racially polarized voting occurs and where a compact minority population large enough to be a majority in a single member district, those were not present. So to be specific, the only evidence we received was from the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, but we didn't find that it called for us to change a need to change course. Among other reasons, the coalition only objects to our decision to not maintain a district we adopted in 2022 as a result of litigation, which in the end, a Republican ended up winning. And in choosing the grouping we did, this is in eastern North Carolina along the coast, we relied on the criteria, including partisan data, to achieve our redistricting goals. Absent any other evidence, we concluded that under the circumstances here, the General Assembly cannot use race to draw districts to achieve a racial target because it would, as we noted in our committees last week, subject the state to liability under the 14th Amendment. So this map was drawn according to the redistricting criteria adopted by the chairs, which we explained on the Senate side, and it has incorporated input from both parties in the chamber, this map as amended. So certainly ask this committee to support our map and ready to try to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Members, is there any discussion or debate? I think you pretty well covered it. Seeing not, I'm sorry, Representative Hawkins, gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, sir. And I asked a similar question, thank you, Mr. Chairman, of colleagues presenting maps yesterday. What's the alleged or proposed political leaning of the maps, given that you were able to use partisan data in the drawing?
I've seen some reports from outside groups, but I can't cite that information off the top of my head.
That's fair. Thank you. Follow-up, Mr. Chairman.
I mean, I could point out, if you want to, let me just go through. Maybe I can answer the member's question.
Yeah, because I didn't have the stat pack.
But just let me maybe, if I could highlight, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, and what we'll do, Representative Hawkins will be recognized for a series of questions, and Senator Down, you got the floor to try to answer that first question.
So if you just consider the current Senate map, these are kind of the changes that most of the changes that were made. So Senate District 1 and Senate District 2, those were the reversing of the pod choice. Senate District 1 is Senator Hannig's district. It is still competitive, but slightly more Republican. Senate District 2, Senator Sanderson's district, moves from safe Republican to competitive-leaning Republican. Senate District 7, Senator Lee's district in New Hanover, is still competitive, but slightly more Republican-leaning. Senate District 13, which is an open seat in Wake County, it will be competitive but leaning Democratic. Mm-hmm. Senate District 18, Senator Bodie's current district, which is in the northern part of Wake and Granville, it was competitive in 2022 and it will still be competitive in 2024. Senate District 21, Senator McInnes's district, which was drawn in the same configuration as the 2021 map. It was not challenged by the plaintiffs in that proceeding, but was changed in the remedial phase to meet an arbitrary political outcome standard that we now know was erroneously adopted by the Supreme Court. So we did change that district to make it slightly more Republican-leaning. And Senate District 42, which is an open seat in Mecklenburg County, will be competitive-leaning Democratic. That's in the southern portions of Mecklenburg County. So these are the only changes that have electoral ramifications in this map. There were, like I mentioned earlier, there were some sort of consensus changes that were made in Guilford, Durham counties, and then in Buncombe County, just for those configurations.
Well, thank you. It looks like, for example, Senate District 1, fairly compact, and I can imagine that those folks have a lot in common, just, you know, my working knowledge of the Northeast. But how do you propose the district meeting works in Senate District 2? How do you propose – what I was saying is that the Senate District 1, fairly compact, those people – you know, could have things to talk about, right, that are similar, just based on my working knowledge of the Northeast. How do you propose a Senate District 2 meeting works? Like, what do those people talk about related to what they have in common and, you know, what communities of interest, like, you know, what do they say to their Senate representative or their senator about what they have in common? You know, what issues they're dealing with in the General Assembly that have commonalities? Because, again, you know, Dare and Terrell could talk about similar things, and Currituck and Camden and Pascatank, but Warren and Carteret, that's a much different discussion. So just wondering how you propose that the member, which is, you know, is a good member, could meet all those needs, because that's part of representation in Raleigh.
So, Mr. Chair, I don't know if it would be helpful for staff to put up on the screen the current Senate map, but just for the representatives' information. So when the Senate follows the Stevenson criteria, obviously our districts, our groupings are much larger than House groupings. So there are two grouping choices based on Stevenson. This is the grouping that was chosen in the first draw of the Senate map in 2021. So basically it just more or less, we're just flipping the pod, so to speak, between one of the two Stevenson groupings. I agree with you. It's a along the coast. It's a very large district. Obviously, it would be a lot of travel time for that member. But even under the existing map, you'll have similar considerations. I think you'll be able to see. So this is, that was one of the other allowable groupings, and we just switched the grouping to.
Representative Hawkins.
I had a little trouble hitting my green button there. I apologize.
Yeah.
You know, and again, and I know you all have already discussed this in the Senate chambers, but just working knowledge of Eastern North Carolina, that definitely seems like a much better fit, more compact, and you know, connected to communities of interest, especially you know, if for those who spend any time in Hyde and Dare, they know that they have things in common, you know, versus the other way around. So that's just my commentary on it, because it doesn't change the electoral outcome with either configuration, but it it's just sort of my two cent on how it appears to people, right? Because we all know that voters look at they do the eye test. They don't do the details like we do. And so they're just going to wonder, you know, how on God's green are you going to represent that when you had that potential? So thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it.
Representative Jones.
Let me follow up on my colleague's questions, Senator Daniel. Because I was a Superior Court judge, I had the privilege of sitting in a lot of these counties. And I assure you that there's a difference between Warren, which is up on the Virginia border, and Carterac, which is down on the coast. And it would have never struck me that someone would connect that, go from the Atlantic Ocean all the way up to the Virginia line in sort of almost central North Carolina. So when you and Senator Hyatt sat down and did this, I tried to ask him yesterday how y'all did it, what kind of data you used, and his answer was, I couldn't quite decipher it. He said, y'all just did it. So is that your answer too, or did you, what kind of data did y'all use?
I think staff could tell us exactly what data was loaded into the computer. I think the only thing different from the last 2021 draw is that political data was from some statewide elections was included in the data pack. So, but Mr. Chair, maybe staff could clarify.
Representative Jones, you want staff to list the data that was in the computer?
Well, I mean, I don't want to tie the place up. I mean, I'm just did have it written down.
That's what we're here for. I believe it is online, but I'll tell you what, let's recognize Erica Churchill. Mr. Churchill, if you'll just go over generally what data it is, and if Representative Jones has some specific questions about it, we can kick those to you as well.
Yes, sir. So, Representative Jones, in the Maptitude software available while drawing, were the 2020 population results from the federal decennial census, and associated with that were the VTDs and census blocks and counties that were where the census population was returned to that particular set of geography. Also in the room were election contest results. Those election contest results are the ones that you will see in the stat pack that is produced and posted on the bill status page for each of the statewide bills. It included some 2020 election results, which those were the election results that were also available during 2021 when the General Assembly was drawing. And as Senator Daniel noted, added to that for this year were some 22 election contest results. If you'd like me to go through the stat pack and read out each of the election contests, I'm glad to, but they're also available on the web if you just want to read for yourself.
No, I don't need to do that, but I would like to know, is that for local, state, and federal elections, all three?
Mr. Chair, if I might, the data for the election results, those are all statewide races, president, governor, judicial races. There are no General Assembly races. There are no local races.
So even though you were drawing, not you, but Ms. Senator Daniel and Senator Hyatt were drawing up state Senate districts, they didn't get state Senate data. Is that correct?
And I'll take the question. I think the issue is the maps are changing, so they couldn't really get the state Senate data. But, Mr. Churchill, if you want to touch on that one as well.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chair. The election contest data that has been loaded into the database does not include any races below statewide. The Council of State races are loaded, U.S. Senate, governor, president. There are no state legislative race data, election contest results data.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Churchill. Can I go back to Senator Dan?
Representative Jones, you're recognized for a series of questions.
Thank you. Now, Senator Daniel, did you I noticed that the Wake County, Gifford, and Mecklenburg are pretty chopped up. I mean, chopped is my expression. Was that necessary to get where you were trying to go politically or for some other reason?
Well, respectfully, I would say they're not as chopped up as the House map because we have many fewer districts. But I guess to answer your question, we used our entire criteria that I've stated before, and also did consider, you know, political data in drawing those maps. So in Mecklenburg County, the northern district is Iredell and the northern precincts of Mecklenburg, so that's a Republican district. And then the southern district, 42, is a competitive leaning Democratic district. So.
Okay.
That's a two county, I think, seven district pod that has one Republican district and one competitive leaning Democratic district.
Is that what's the outlay on Guilford as far as the partisan 27-28?
It's a two county grouping with three districts, and it has one Republican district and two Democrat leaning districts, and that was in the 27 and 28. Those districts are aligned based on an amendment that was proposed by Senator Robinson and Senator Garrett. So the way that looks, that's how they decided among themselves to draw it.
All right, and I don't need to ask about Wake. I know Wake pretty well. I do want to ask this question, though, in the overall, and I hate to admit I'm ignorant to know what the split is now. I think I know, but I'm not sure, but the split between Democrat and Republican in the Senate is what? It is as we said.
We have 30 Republican members and 20 Democrat members.
That's what I thought. And under your drawings, your and Senator Heiss, what do you predict? And I know people say we don't know really, and I understand that, but I mean, you're a smart guy, and I'm just trying to figure out what do you think?
Well, I think having been running seven elections, I don't like to make future predictions about what the political environment might be 12 months from now. I think we would feel like we would have a Republican majority, but whether or not we would have a supermajority would depend on the electorate next year.
Well, let me put it another way. Is it going to be more Republican than 30-20?
I think I don't know if anybody can answer that question.
All right. Well,
thank you.
Thank you, Senator Daniel. Those are all of my questions.
Members, is there further discussion? Representative Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Heiss. I'm sorry, Daniel. Excuse me. I was listening on the WebEx until I walked in the room, so I think I caught most of it. But I just wanted to follow up on a couple of things. You listed sort of in general the criteria you used, and I think I heard it. But Did you have a written down list? We received from Chair Hall the instructions that they sent to Mr. Springetti. Did y'all use Mr. Springetti? And two, did you send him a list of criteria as well?
Mr. Chair?
Gentlemen may just respond. Generally, the way we do it, once the member asks a question, the person who the question is directed to may go ahead and answer without the blessing of the chair.
Thank you. So thank you for the question, Representative Harrison. So the Senate process was that we drew everything in-house in this building with the Senate election chairs, with our pro tem staff, and with our central staff, using General Assembly computers and data. And so we didn't use an expert or have anybody analyze our map outside of the General Assembly. And was there a second part to your question?
Did you have a list of criteria you were following?
So we do have a printed list of criteria that we have entered into the Senate record. I don't think I have a copy of it with me, but if the committee would like to have that for part of your documentation, we would be glad to provide that to you.
We'll accept those documents from the gentleman, and if you'll just send those to myself, and we'll make sure that the committee members receive that document the gentleman is referencing that's already in the Senate record. So strike that. It's already on the General Assembly website, so rather than me have these folks who are busy today doing a bunch of other matters send out an email, I'll just ask Ms. Churchill to identify where it's at for the committee members on the web using the TV screens in front of you.
Mr. Chair, while she's pulling it up, may I just ask? Here it is.
So let me just note that it was under the October 19th, 2023 Senate Committee hearing notes, October 19th, if you're looking at it online yourself. So hopefully everybody can find that. All right, Representative Harrison, ladies recognize.
I appreciate that. Mr. Chair, I don't have my laptop in front of me, and this is a little bit too small for me to read. Senator Daniel, was there an effort to protect communities of interest listed there?
So communities of interest was not one of our criteria on this year's criteria that the chair has adopted.
Thank you. And did y'all on the compactness, did you use the scores that we have used in the past, RIOC and Polsby Popper, or was it just visual?
We did consider those, yes.
Do you know how it's scored versus the 2021 maps?
I think both of those, our staff has posted that data, I believe, also to the website. Senator Heiss may be the better person to, as the statistician. When I looked at it, I didn't consider it statistically significant.
So, Senator Heiss, you don't want to be recognized.
First, I wanted to comment that the criteria used are the criteria that we used to draw the base maps. The Democrats proposed and the committee accepted two amendments to the district. I have no comment on what criteria they used to draw their amendments that were accepted here, and reiterate that both the compactness stores are available and posted. They aren't part of the original stat pack, but they are posted otherwise. Comparing an average of those would not be a statistically accurate measure of utilizing those.
Thank you.
The chair understands that those compactness scores are on the website under the bill, Senate Bill 758, on that page as additional documents or attachments on the website. Lady continues to be recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to be much longer. But I wanted to, following up on Senator Representative Jones's comments. On 37, Senate District 37, this is Iredale, and it looks like the top of Mecklenburg. So is that the district that double bunks yes, it's Natasha Marcus.
That is the district that has two, it's a two two members reside in that district, Senator Sawyer and Senator Marcus.
And if I could just follow up on that, because I recall that that was a situation in 2021 until it was changed. And I guess I'm not going to ask you why you did that. I know that they were double bunked before and y'all worked it out, but they're back to being double bunked. You also mentioned the SCSJ letter about Southern Coalition of Social Justice about the VRA issues. And did y'all do any kind of racially polarized voting analysis, or did you do any before you drew the maps?
We have not, other than what was done as part of the litigation in 2021 and 2022.
Thank you. And so I guess you did not draw VRA districts prior to drawing the rest of the map?
That's correct.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Members, is there further discussion or debate? Representative Carney, the lady is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senator Daniel. A lot of my questions have been asked, but I am going to the Mecklenburg map. I understood you to say 41 is an open seat. Is that correct?
Let me just make sure I have my Senate district numbers correct. That is correct. There is no incumbent in Senate District 41.
And in 42, that in essence will be a empty seat also, with Senator Hunt not running again.
Senator Hunt, I guess, has stated her intention to run for a statewide office. I guess filing hasn't occurred yet, but we presume that that would be an open seat.
So along the partisan lines, the 41 I would take would be leaning more Democratic, and the 42 would be leaning more Republican. I don't have your stats.
41 would be strong Democratic, and 42 would be competitive leaning Democratic, in our opinion.
Okay. And I can't blow this map up, and I don't have a whatever. In the bottom corner, it looks like there's a tiny slither. Okay, thank you. Wow. Magnifying glass came up. Down in that lower corner of 39, was it not possible to have, I don't know how you drew this with your numbers, and then there are two little islands sticking out of 41. That are now part of 42. Were there a lot of split precincts in that area? Do you see what I'm talking about? The orange appendages sticking out in 39, and the yellow, the orange.
So, and I believe that is predominantly the drawings of the VTDs as they exist, selecting the VTDs in those cases. I'll also say there are no islands. We did not use, everything is contiguous, so it's connected to the mainland. Yeah. That's coming in. We did not use point contiguity as well, so it's actual area and distance.
So I appreciate the blowing up. It's hard to see on this map, but thank you.
Members, while they're doing that, chair's in possession of printed copies of the criteria, so the chair will just ask Sergeant-at-Arms to pass those out while we go around the map and look at specific spots. Gentlemen, recognized.
Do you see that tiny little orange? It wasn't connected. Not the big map.
I may not have pointed it up.
But when that blew it up. I'm just curious.
There you go.
There it is. Can you zoom?
There's the zoom thing right there. And here's the drag this thing down. Oh, yeah, I forgot you can do this. Representative Carney, if you look at the screen now, you can see the blow up that shows the VTDs.
Much better, thank you.
Members, is there further discussion or debate on the bill? All right. Chair is going to let members obviously ask as many questions as they want, but traditionally the State House Committee doesn't work a whole lot on the State Senate map, and the State Senate Committee doesn't work a whole lot on the State House map. The Chair presented the State House map and the State Senate Committee this morning, and we answered some questions and took us maybe 10, 15 minutes. Again, I just remind members of the deference to the Senate on the Senate's map as the Senate gives the House on the House map. But with that said, you all are elected and you're allowed to ask whatever you want to ask in this matter. Representative Abe Jones, I saw your hand first, and I'll then go come back to you. Representative Harrison, gentlemen's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to try this one more time with Senator Daniel, and then I'll leave it alone. But I understand. Before I ask my question, I'm going to say, how long did you and Senator Heist work together on this map?
I think I'd have to ask staff. Like the first, we kind of started as soon as the data was uploaded into the computer. I'm guessing it was in mid-September, but if maybe staff can clarify when that date started.
Mr. Chair.
Erica Churchill.
Thank you, sir. I believe the Tuesday, September 19th was the first day we had everything up and going.
Okay. And
gentlemen, continue to be recognized.
Thank you. I asked that question because I'm just trying to go back to the question I asked the first round, and I'll leave it be. But you all worked quite a while on this together. Obviously, partisan gerrymandering has been approved by the courts, and so nobody's fooling anyone about that. No one's trying to. But my question is simply, when you finished, it's currently 30-20, and I wanted you to just give me your estimate of what do you think it would be. And you said you'd rather not speculate, but is it you know and don't want to say, or you don't know?
I think the best thing we can say is just to, you know, identify the districts that we felt like that we were able to improve a little bit from a political consideration standpoint. If you want me to go back through which ones those are, I can do that.
Well, if you just tell me the number that you improved, I think that would be satisfactory.
And while Senator Daniel looks at the data, the chair will note, the chair believes maybe the question is how many would you expect a Republican member to win? And obviously that's a matter of opinion. I think if the gentleman looks at the stat pack potentially on the website, I don't know if it's handed out, and I don't think it's in paper format before you, but it's on the website. And if you look at some of the political data across prior elections and, you know, some areas are different than others in terms of the political performance based upon past elections. But all of that is in the stat pack on the website so that you could go and look and say, you know, 2020 governor's race or 2020 presidential or lieutenant governor, various races in prior elections that you can go and look at to see in terms of how those particular candidates in those races did just in that particular Senate district. All that is online. You can go look at if you want to do so. And so I don't – obviously, Senator Daniel's not going to be able to, you know, say for sure, you know, how many districts are going to win. And I don't think anybody can. The last few days, there's been a lot of discussion about everything. One senator, I believe, said, why even have elections? Well, I'll remind all my friends that in November of 24, when my friends on the other side are spending millions of dollars to try to win many of these elections. And so my point there is, it's impossible to say how many people are going to win
these elections in the future. And I know that's not the gentleman's question. You're asking more about the data, but that data is online, and just an aside apart from what you were actually asking. So with that, Senator Daniel, I'll go back to you to answer the question.
So if the gentleman wants me to go through the districts and this is just information we presented to the Senate in session. So Senate districts 1 and 2, that's the eastern grouping. Mm-hmm. And so in that Senate district 1, that's slightly more Republican leaning, but Senate district 2 is slightly less Republican leaning, but still leaning Republican. Senate district 7, which is New Hanover County, is still competitive, but slightly more Republican leaning. Senate district 13, it's the southern open seat in Wake County. It will be competitive, but leaning Democratic. Senate district 18, which is northern Wake County and Granville. So that was competitive in the last election, will still be competitive. Senate district 21, that's Senator McGinnis's district. So that one was changed to slightly make it slightly more improve the Republican. And Senate district 42, that's an open seat in Mecklenburg County, still competitive but leaning Democratic. So those are probably the most significant changes on the map.
And Senator Daniel, I thank you for your responses and bearing with me on that. Thank you very much, and I'm done.
Representative Harrison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just real quickly, I appreciate that we are deferring to the Senate. I just want to ask specifically, and you may have said this in your earlier presentation on Cumberland, is Fayetteville kept whole in that District 19, if I'm reading that right?
88% of the population. So Fayetteville is one of those municipalities that has satellite annexations and things that are hard to deal with. But 88% of the population is in district number 19, and 12% is in 21, in Senate District 21. So 88% of the population is in 19.
And thank you, Senator. May I ask about the notch in District 7, Senator Lee's district? Looks like there's a notch in New Hanover that's being taken over into 8. Was that a population issue, did you say? And do you know the makeup of that?
So that's on the Senate base map, that's a 3-county grouping of Columbus, Brunswick, and New Hanover. So New Hanover is larger than the maximum Senate district. So the chairs removed 6 precincts from New Hanover and moved them into Senate District 8. And so the 6 precincts were W3, W12, W15, W25, W27, and W29. And so that does improve the political scoring slightly, leaning more Republican, but still competitive.
Thank you.
Members, is there further discussion or debate on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Torbett moves for a favorable report. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Brockman?
No.
Representative Brockman, no. Representative Carney?
No.
Representative Carney, no. Representative Dixon?
Aye.
Representative Dixon, aye. Representative Fontenot? Representative Fontenot? Representative Hardister?
Aye.
Representative Hardister, aye. Representative Harrison?
No.
Representative Harrison, no. Representative Hastings?
Aye.
Representative Hastings, aye. Representative Hawkins? Representative Hawkins, no. Representative Humphrey?
Yes.
Representative Humphrey, aye. Representative Abe Jones?
No.
Representative Abe Jones, no. Representative Brendan Jones?
Aye.
Representative Brendan Jones, aye. Representative Lowry?
Aye.
Representative Lowry, aye. Representative Mills?
Aye.
Representative Mills, aye. Representative Reeves?
No.
Representative Reeves, no. Representative Warren?
Aye.
Representative Warren, aye. Representative Bell?
Aye.
Representative Bell, aye. Representative Sain?
Aye.
Representative Sain, aye. Representative Stevens?
Aye.
Representative Stevens, aye. Representative Torbett?
Aye.
Representative Torbett, aye. Representative Hall?
Aye.
Representative Hall, aye.
Thirteen having voted in the affirmative and six in the negative, the motion passes and the bill receives a favorable report. Members, hang tight just one second. So members, the Rules Committee will meet to take up this bill as well as the the congressional plan, the Watauga County plan, and then there's and it's a few appointments that will be in an appointments bill being taken up as well. So the Rules Committee is going to meet 5 minutes from when we adjourn this committee, and I'm going to stay right here so that it is actually 5 minutes, and we'll get started in 5 minutes. There being no further business before this committee, the committee is now adjourned.